Good day, beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Disclosure Podcast. And we'll be discussing the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP, which is located in, or was, because that location has already been closed, in north of Gakona, Alaska, just west of Wrangell St. Elias National Park. An environmental impact statement led to permission for an array of up to 180 antennas to be erected. HARP was constructed as the preview site of an over-the-horizon radar, or OTH, installation. A large structure built to house the OTH now houses the HARP control room, kitchen, and offices. Several other small structures house various instruments. HARP was a little known, yet critically important U.S. military defense project, which generated quite a bit of controversy for its alleged weather control capabilities and much more. The High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program was initiated as an ionospheric research program jointly funded by the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Navy, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA. It was designed and built by BAE Advanced Technologies. Its original purpose was to analyze the ionosphere and investigate the potential for developing ionospheric enhancement technology for radio communications and surveillance. As a university-owned facility, HARP is a high-power, high-frequency transmitter used for the study of the ionosphere. The most prominent instrument at HARP is the Ionospheric Research Instrument, or IRI, a high-power radio frequency transmitter facility operating in the high-frequency band. The IRI is used to temporarily excite a limited area of the ionosphere. Other instruments, such as a VHF and a UHF radar, a fluxgate magnetometer, a digisond, which is an ionospheric sounding device, are used to study the physical processes that occur in the excited region. Work on the HARP facility began in 1993. The current working IRI was completed in 2007. Its prime contractor was BAE Systems Advanced Technologies. As of 2008, HARP had incurred around $250 million in tax-funded construction and operating costs. In May 2014, it was announced that the HARP program would be permanently shut down later in the year. After discussions between the parties, ownership of the facility and its equipment was transferred to the University of Alaska Fairbanks in August 2015. The project was shuttered by the military in 2013 after attracting large amounts of negative publicity, though HARP-like research undoubtedly continues in other secret projects and locations. HARP was promoted by the government as a merely research tool, and its military capabilities were always denied. Some respected researchers allege that the electromagnetic warfare capabilities of the project were designed to forward the U.S. military's stated goal of achieving full spectrum dominance by the year 2020 and of owning the weather in 2025. Others go as far as to claim that HARP technologies have been and continue to be used for weather control, to cause earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis, to disrupt global communication systems, and even more. These researchers point to major aspects of the program which are still kept secret for alleged reasons of national security. The U.S. patent of a key developer of HARP and other documentary evidence support these claims, and there is no doubt that electromagnetic weapons capable of being used in warfare do exist. The cost of the project, which ascends to more than $300 million, also suggests more was going on than meets the eye. According to the original HARP website, HARP is a scientific endeavor aimed at studying the properties and behavior of the ionosphere, with particular emphasis on being able to understand and use it to enhance communications and surveillance systems for both civilian and defense purposes. The ionosphere is the delicate upper layer of our atmosphere, which ranges from about 30 miles to 600 miles above the Earth's surface. The HARP Project website acknowledged that experiments were conducted which use electromagnetic frequencies to fire pulse-directed energy beams in order to temporarily excite a limited area of the ionosphere. Some scientists state that purposefully disturbing this sensitive layer could have major and even disastrous consequences. Concerned heart researchers like Dr. Michel Shudodovsky of the University of Ottawa and Alaska's Dr. Nick Begich, son of a U.S. congressman, present evidence suggesting that these disturbances can even be used to trigger earthquakes, affect hurricanes, and even to control the weather. The program itself began in 1990, when Ted Stevens, Republican U.S. Senator from Alaska, helped win approval for the facility, and construction then began in 1993. In early May 2013, HARP was temporarily shut down, awaiting a change between contractors to operate the facility. In July 2013, HARP program manager James Kinney said, "Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, is expected on site as a client to finish up some research in fall 2013 and winter 2014. The temporary shutdown was described as being due to a contractor regime change. Aetna Incorporated, the Alaska Native Corporation serving the region of Alaska where the HARP site is located, was reportedly in talks to take over the facility administration contract from Marsh Creek LLC. Dr. Bernard Eastland is the scientist whose name is most associated with the creation and development of the HARP project. His revealing website provides reliable information of his involvement with the project. A 1987 patent issued to Dr. Eastland is titled "Method and Apparatus for Altering a Region in the Earth's Atmosphere, Ionosphere, or Magnetosphere." In this patent, which sets the stage for HARP, Dr. Eastland makes a number of fascinating statements which clearly contradict the claim that it's only being used for research and not for military purposes or such purposes as weather control. Here are a few of the key statements taken verbatim from the patent. The temperature of the ionosphere has been raised by hundreds of degrees in these experiments. A means and method is provided to cause interference with or even total disruption of communications over a very large portion of the Earth. This invention could be employed to disrupt not only land-based communications, both civilian and military, but also airborne communications and sea communications. This would have significant military implications. It is possible to take advantage of one or more such beams to carry out a communications network even though the rest of the world's communications are disrupted. It can be used to an advantage for positive communication and eavesdropping purposes. Exceedingly large amounts of power can be very efficiently produced and transmitted. This invention has a phenomenal variety of potential future developments. Large regions of the atmosphere could be lifted to unexpectedly high altitudes so that missiles encountered unexpected and unplanned drag forces would result in destruction or deflection. Weather modification is possible by, for example, altering upper atmosphere wind patterns or altering solar absorption patterns by constructing one or more plumes of atmospheric particles which will act as a lens or focusing device, ozone, nitrogen, etc. Concentrations in the atmosphere could be artificially increased. Electromagnetic pulse defenses are also possible. The Earth's magnetic field could be decreased or disrupted at appropriate altitudes to modify or eliminate the magnetic field. For those with any background in science, you might find it quite revealing to explore this patent in more detail. And remember that since the time of this patent, in which Alaska is mentioned several times as the ideal location, the government fully acknowledges that it built a massive array of antennas in Alaska with the capability of disturbing the ionosphere, exactly as described in Eastland's patent. The HARP project directs a 3.6 megawatt signal in the 2.8 to 10 megahertz region of the high frequency band in the ionosphere. The signal may be pulsed or continuous. Effects of the transmission at any recovery period can be examined using associated instrumentation, including VHF and UHF radars, HF receivers, and optical cameras. According to the HARP team, This will advance the study of basic natural processes that occur in the ionosphere under the natural but much stronger influence of solar interaction. HARP also enables studies of how the natural ionosphere affects radio signals. The insights gleaned at HARP will enable a scientist to develop methods to mitigate these effects to improve the reliability or performance of communication and navigation systems, which would have a wide range of both civilian and military uses, such as an increased accuracy of GPS navigation and advances in underwater and underground research and applications. This may lead, among other things, to improved methods for submarine communication or an ability to remotely sense, map the mineral content of the terrestrial subsurface, and perhaps underground complexes of regions or countries. The current facility lacks range to be used in regions like the oil-rich Middle East, according to one of the researchers involved, but the technology could be put on a mobile platform. The project was originally funded by the Office of Naval Research and jointly managed by the ONR and Air Force Research Laboratory, with principal involvement of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Many other U.S. universities and educational institutions were involved in the development of the project and its instruments, namely the University of Alaska Fairbanks, Stanford University, Penn State University, Boston College, UCLA, Clemson, Dartmouth, Cornell, Johns Hopkins, Maryland, College Park, Massachusetts Amherst, MIT, Polytechnic Institute of New York University, Virginia Tech, and the University of Tulsa. The project's specifications were developed by the universities, who continue to play a major role in the design of future research efforts. According to HARP's original management, the project strove for openness, and all activities were logged and publicly available, a practice which continues under the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Scientists without security clearances, even foreign nationals, were routinely allowed on site, which also continues today. HARP hosts an open house annually, during which time any civilian can tour the entire facility. In addition, scientific results obtained using HARP are routinely published in major research journals, such as Geophysical Research Letters and Journal of Geophysical Research. Written both by university scientists, American and foreign, and by U.S. Department of Defense research lab scientists, one of the most discussed features of the HARP project is the ability to shoot energy rays that will then be reflected back to the Earth from the ionosphere as electric waves of an extremely low frequency, or ELF. This process is capable of transforming these ELF waves into a very insidious weapon for 1. These ELF vibrations are able to penetrate the brains of people and animals if the vibrations are aimed in their direction. This will not only mobilize the victims, preventing them from performing any movement or act of defense, but will also render them insane as well. As a useful tool for the military, these waves can also penetrate walls of brick and steel. 2. ELF frequencies improve radio contact and reception, even those within thick bunkers and atomic submarines. 3. ELF vibrations can penetrate the Earth's surface and detect hidden bunkers. 4. ELF waves can be used to track down and pinpoint missiles, airplanes, and other flying craft even on the other side of the globe. 5. ELF frequencies can entirely block electronic devices and radio waves of the enemy. These capabilities present, however, merely one facet of HARP's technology. Possible side effects that are just as frightening must also be considered. The fact is that, to date, no one completely understands how the ionosphere will react when it is impacted by these energy rays. We must bear in mind that the ionosphere is very fragile. Together with the ozone layer, it protects the planet Earth and all life forms from the deadly rays of outer space. It is definitely possible that the additional energy beams emitted by the HARP program will not only disturb but actually destroy the sensitive system and the protective ozone layer. two key major media documentaries, one by Canada's public broadcasting network, CBC, and the other by the History Channel, revealed the inner workings of the HAARP project in a most powerful way. The very well-researched CBC documentary includes this keynote. It isn't just conspiracy theorists who are concerned about HAARP. In January of 1999, the European Union called the project a global concern and passed a resolution calling for more information on its health and environmental risks. Despite those concerns, officials at HAARP insist the project is nothing more sinister than a radio science research facility. The European Union document, which brings HAARP and similar electromagnetic weapons into question, the actual wording at bullet point 24 in this telling document states that the EU considers HAARP, by virtue of its far-reaching impact on the environment, to be a global concern and calls for its legal, ecological, and ethical implications to be examined by an international independent body before any further research and testing. This revealing document further states that the EU regrets the repeated refusal of the US government to give evidence on the project. The engaging 50-minute documentary is available for free viewing. You can check it out. I'll put a link on the description. One of the quotes that I found on the History Channel documentary on HAARP states, quote, "Electromagnetic weapons pack an invisible wallop hundreds of times more powerful than the electrical current in a lightning bolt. One can blast enemy missiles out of the sky, another could be used to blind soldiers on the battlefield. Still another to control an unruly crowd by burning the surface of their skin. If detonated over a large city, an electromagnetic weapon could destroy all electronics in seconds. They all use directed energy to create a powerful electromagnetic pulse. Directed energy is such a powerful technology, it could be used to heat the ionosphere to turn weather into a weapon of war. Imagine using a flood to destroy a city, or tornadoes to decimate an approaching army in the desert. If an electromagnetic pulse went off over a city, basically all the electronic things in your home would wink and go out, and they would be permanently destroyed. The military has spent a huge amount of time on weather modification as a concept for battle environments. Quote, top secret wartime experiments during World War II were conducted off the coast of Auckland to perfect a tidal wave bomb. The classified files reveal, U.S. defense chiefs said that if the project had been completed before the end of the war, it could have played a role as effective as that of the atom bomb. Details of the tsunami bomb, known as Project Seal, are contained in 53-year-old documents released by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade. If the military is basically admitting they had a weapon powerful enough to create tsunamis 50 years ago, what do you think they have right now? You gotta understand the mentality of the average top-ranked military honcho. These people are always trying to find or develop the most devastating weapons possible. It's not like they're, you know, it's not like they're trying to measure themselves and go easy. No, it's not that way. These weapons are usually kept secret for decades. You know, as long as they can. But, you know, in the last years, thanks to the internet and, you know, the dissemination of information, there's almost nothing that they can keep hidden. For example, the development of the first atom bomb with the Manhattan Project. The building of an entire city to support the project in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, was successfully kept secret even from the state's governor. The stealth bomber was kept top secret for many years, and the public still has no way of knowing its full capabilities. It is through the use of the highly organized military and intelligence services that the power elites of the world, in cooperation with key allies in government and corporate ownership of the media, are able to carry out major cover-ups and secret operations like those involved with HAARP. Some researchers have raised questions about the possible involvement of HAARP in major disasters like the earthquakes in Haiti and Japan, the Indonesian tsunami, and Hurricane Katrina. Could this have been HAARP experiments gone wrong? Disasters like this happen naturally on a regular basis, yet if you begin to research, there is some high strangeness around some of those disasters. The evidence is inconclusive, yet with the known and unknown major destructive capabilities of this weapon, serious questions remain. This huge difference could lift and change the ionosphere in the ways necessary to create futuristic effects described in the patent. According to the patent, the work of Nikola Tesla in the early 1900s formed the basis of the research. What would this technology be worth to ARCO, the owner of the patents? They could make enormous profits by beaming electrical power from a powerhouse in the gas fields to the consumer without wires. For a time, HARP researchers could not prove that this was one of the intended uses of HARP. In April 1985, however, Belgic found other patents connected with a key personnel list for APTI. Some of these new APTI patents were indeed a wireless system for sending electrical power. Eastland's patent said the technology can confuse or completely disrupt airplanes and missiles' sophisticated guidance systems. Further, this ability to spray large areas of Earth with electromagnetic waves of barren frequencies and to control changes in those waves make it possible to knock out communications on land or sea as well as in the air. The patent says, quote, "Thus, this invention provides the ability to put unprecedented amounts of power in the Earth's atmosphere at strategic locations and to maintain the power injection level, particularly if random pulsing is employed, in a manner far more precise and better controlled than heretofore accomplished by the prior art, particularly by detonation of nuclear devices of various yields at various altitudes. It is possible not only to interfere with third-party communications, but to take advantage of one or more such beams to carry out a communications network knowledgeable of this invention as a communication network at the same time. It is possible not only to interfere with third-party communications, but to take advantage of one or more such beams to carry out a communications network, even though the rest of the world's communications are disrupted. Put another way, what is used to disrupt another's communications can be employed by one knowledgeable of this invention as a communication network at the same time. Large regions of the atmosphere could be lifted to unexpectedly high altitude so that missiles encounter unexpected and unplanned drag forces with resultant destruction. Weather modification is possible by, for example, altering upper atmosphere wind patterns by constructing warmer plumes of atmospheric particles which will act as a lens or focusing device. Molecular modifications of the atmosphere can take place so that positive environmental effects can be achieved. Besides actually changing the molecular composition of an atmospheric region, a particular molecule or molecules can be chosen for increased presence. For example, ozone, nitrogen, etc. Concentrations in the atmosphere could be artificially increased. Baggage found 11 other APTI patents. They told how to make nuclear-sized explosions without radiation, power beaming systems, over-the-horizon radar, detection systems for missiles carrying nuclear warheads, electromagnetic pulses previously produced by thermonuclear weapons, and other Star Wars tricks. This cluster of patents underlay the HARP weapon system. There's also the discussion of the ability of HARP to influence or affect people's emotions and minds. The capability of influencing and even controlling human emotions has been studied by the military intelligence services of the world for many decades. There's a book that is very popular by the people who study mind control, and that is Mind Controllers. Here's a key quote from this book. Quote, "With the use of powerful computers, segments of human emotions, which include anger, anxiety, sadness, fear, embarrassment, jealousy, resentment, shame, and terror, have been identified and isolated within the EEG signals as emotion signature clusters. The relevant frequencies and amplitudes have been measured. Then the very frequency amplitude cluster is synthesized and stored on another computer. Each one of these negative emotions is properly and separately tagged. They are then placed in the silent sound carrier frequencies and could silently trigger the occurrence of the same basic emotion in another human being. Using HARP's powerful broadcast capabilities, it is within the realm of possibility that powerful antennas like that of HARP and major facilities elsewhere could triangulate on an exact location anywhere in the world and send highly intensified frequencies matching the emotion signature of a desired emotion to produce anger or any other desired emotion in a group of people, as the human mind naturally entrains to strong frequencies around it. There is strong evidence to support this possibility. Here is the abstract of U.S. Patent Number 5,159,703, approved in 1992, over 25 years ago. A silent communication system in which non-aural carriers in the very low or very high audio frequency range or in the adjacent ultrasonic frequency spectrum are amplitude or frequency modulated with the desired intelligence and propagated acoustically or vibrationally for inducement into the brain, typically through the use of loudspeakers, earphones, or piezoelectric transducers. The modulated carriers may be transmitted directly in real time or may be conveniently recorded and stored on mechanical, magnetic, or optical media for delayed or repeated transmission to the listener. The military says the HARP system could give the military a tool to replace the electromagnetic pulse effect of atmospheric thermonuclear devices, still considered a viable option by the military through at least 1986. Replace the huge extremely low frequency ELF submarine communication system operating in Michigan and Wisconsin with a new and more compact technology. Be used to replace the over-the-horizon radar system that was once planned for the current location of HARP with a more flexible and accurate system. Provide a way to wipe out communications over an extremely large area while keeping the military's own communications system working. Provide a wide area earth-penetrating tomography which, if combined with the computing abilities of EMASS and Cray computers, will make it possible to verify many parts of nuclear non-proliferation and peace agreements. Be a tool for geophysical probing to find oil, gas, and mineral deposits over large areas. Be used to detect incoming low-level planes and cruise missiles, making other technologies obsolete. The above abilities seem like a good idea to all who believe in sound national defense and to those concerned about cost-cutting. However, the possible uses which the HARP records do not explain and which can only be found in Air Force, Army, Navy, and other federal agency records are alarming. Moreover, effects from the reckless use of these power levels in our natural shield, the ionosphere, could be cataclysmic, according to some scientists. The two Alaskans, put it bluntly, a founder of the No HARP movement, Claire Sicour, says the military is going to give the ionosphere a big kick and see what happens. The military failed to tell the public that they don't know what exactly will happen, but a Penn State Science article brags about the uncertainty. The HARP project uses the largest energy levels yet played with by what Begich and Manning call the big boys with their new toys. HARP is an experiment in the sky, and experiments are done to find out something not already known. Independent scientists told Begich and Manning that a HARP-type skybuster with its unforeseen effects could be an act of global vandalism. Even though HARP supposedly closed for business on 2013, there are quite a few ionospheric heater research facilities in the world. We have the ISCAT Scientific Association, which is an international research organization which operates three incoherent scattered radar systems at 931, 224, and 500 MHz in northern Scandinavia. It is funded and operated by the research councils of Norway, Sweden, Finland, Japan, China, the UK, and Germany. They are known as the ISCAT Associates. Then we have the HIPAS, High Power Auroral Stimulation Observatory, which is an ionospheric heater, which can radiate 70 megawatts ERP at either 2.85 or 4.53 megahertz. It's located 30 miles northeast of Fairbanks, Alaska, in the small community of Two Rivers. The HIPAS Observatory is operated by the UCLA Plasma Physics Laboratory. Then we have SURA, the Sura Ionospheric Heating Facility, located near the small town of Basilsursk, about 100 kilometers eastward from Nizhny Novgorod, that's in Russia. It's a laboratory for ionosphere research. The ionospheric heater located in this facility is similar to the American HARP, capable of radiating about 190 MHz effective radiated power on short waves. This facility is operated by the Radiophysical Research Institute, or NIRFI, in Nizhny Novgorod. The frequency range of the heating facility is from 4.5 to 9.3 MHz. The facility consists of 3 to 50 kilowatts broadcasting transmitters and a 144 cross dipole antenna array with dimensions of 300 for 300 meters. At the middle of the operating frequency range, a maximum zenith gain of about 260 or 24 decibels is reached. The ERP of the facility is 190 megawatts. Then there's the Arecibo facility. The 430 MHz radar transmitter at Arecibo Observatory was built in 1962 by Leventhal Electronic Products, which became radiation at Stanford as original equipment for the observatory. The transmitter operates at a fixed center frequency of 430 MHz with a maximum transmitted bandwidth of 1 MHz. Tulleyton L-3403 or L-5773 klystrons operate in parallel as a balanced amplifier, with a 90-degree power splitter at the input and a high-power 90-degree combiner at the output, to provide a maximal total peak pulse output power of 2.5 megawatts. Power is delivered to the antenna platform, which is stands tall at 1,500 feet of WR2100 waveguide. An infinitely variable power splitter on the platform provides transmitted power to feed antennas in both the Gregorian Dome, which is the feed horn, and the carriage house, which is the line feed. This allows dual beam operation, which could have been called dual radar operation, as it is equivalent to two radars pointing in different directions. The maximum duty cycle is 6%, so the maximum average output power is 150 kilowatts. There are some locations that are key for HARP kind of experimentation, like Chile, Cyprus, Tajikistan, and the Antarctica, probably the most important one, plus all the Russian installations that we forgot to mention, besides the one that we actually analyzed. There are some main projects, mining projects, of Eurasian Mining Company Incorporated, which are allocated where the mining reaches are located. Look at the Hillary and Bill Clinton uranium scandal. Started by Frank Gustra, who flies around the world with Bill Clinton to secure mining contracts in these key places after Clinton introduces him to the presidents of the country he wants to mine in. After the contracts are signed in each country, Gustra then forks over $150 million to Clinton's foundation. Wasn't Clinton involved in Haiti and the Bornemosa gold mining? A lot of tragedies to keep the people down, to keep the constant flow of necessity for the Clinton Foundation, for the mining of minerals, and the constant flow of children that are influxed into the many organizations and charities that work with the orphanages in Haiti. So in essence, I'll tell you, the HARP sites are located globally where the richest mineral belts are located. Subsurface mineral exploration has been done from satellites by radiotomography. That is 100% fact. If you want to check out the list of known HARP facilities, I'll also link that on the description. There are a number of places that come to mind, like Japan, Massachusetts, California, Norway, HARP installations in Germany, for example, Wales in the UK, Brazil is another place where there is one, and Australia, of course. Australia is the old experiment field for the Cabal. As a fun fact, the very first time I heard about HARP, it was around probably 2010-2011. And I also remember fondly Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theories episode on HARP. He used to over-dramatize things, but, you know, he did give good information. and his episodes on, for example, the Denver airport with all the Masonic symbols and the Ozarks and the JFK assassination, those episodes are brilliant. He basically destroys the official narrative of the JFK assassination as an expert shooter, of course. Now, I'm not an expert on weather or how storms are supposed to form or dissolve, but I don't know if you saw with the recent tornado hurricane that destroyed Dominican Republic and, you know, also affected the Virgin Islands and I guess Haiti, and I don't know if it affected Florida. I think it also affected Florida. But I think, and I'm not the only one, that the development of the storm was very strange, very atypical. And you know what? There goes the Clinton Foundation to the Dominican Republic again. And there went the Clinton Foundation to help in Puerto Rico late last year. You know, it's a shame that this technology, which was inspired by no other than Nikola Tesla, is being used to basically murder and destroy nations, just to facilitate the plundering and the exploitation of every resource and every human trafficking, the abduction of children for organ trafficking, and of course more disturbing objectives. Whether or not you believe that these events have been caused by HARP or similar HARP-like facilities, you gotta admit that when you have a scientist admitting on national TV, on CBS News to be precise, that government is using weather control, you know, that slip-up was by Mikio Kaiku in 2014. He was talking about experiments that scientists have been doing with weather modifications. The experiments that he was discussing sounded strangely similar to what we know about the HARP facility in Alaska. Later in the conversation, Mikio Kaiku talks about the deep history of weather modification that has been carried out by governments for decades. Very quickly, the CBS staff interrupted him to the point that government-directed weather modification was alleged. CBS staff interrupted him to point out that government-directed weather modification was only alleged. And you know, a lot of scientists and physicists have theorized about ways to exploit the weather. In a new research published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, Professor Wolf Kasparian said the laser beams create plasma channels in the air that cause ice to form. He said, quote, "Under the conditions of a typical storm cloud, in which ice and supercooled water coexist, no direct influence of the plasma channels on ice formation or precipitation processes could be detected. Under conditions typical for thin cirrus ice clouds, however, the plasma channels induced a surprisingly strong effect of ice multiplication. Within a few minutes, the laser action led to a strong enhancement of the total ice particle number density in the chamber by up to a factor of 100, even though only a 10-9 fraction of the chamber volume was exposed to the plasma channels. The newly formed ice particles quickly reduced the water vapor pressure to ice saturation, thereby increasing the cloud optical thickness by up to 3 orders of magnitude." So you see, all these events, all this, you know, the heavy winters that you guys have been having in the States, what happened with global warming? You remember when they used to call it global warming? Now it's climate change. Why? Because there's a craziness going on with what they're doing. You know, these people that are the same ones that are scamming people or want to scam people with the new tax of carbon emissions were so desperate to take care of the weather, take care of nature. You wouldn't think that they would dare to, you know, point 40 antennas into the sky and fire plasma beams into it and see what happens, you know. And if shit happens. You know, those are part of the contradictions that you should be aware of. Discernment. You know, governments, they do one thing and they erase it with the other one. It's all a play to keep you distracted, to keep you paying, to keep you manipulated with guilt and worry and fear of destruction. For those of you who knew my situation, what happened, well, I took some time off for family matters. I was burnt out, to be honest, and then what happened with my mother didn't help, and I needed to take a break. I took 1 week. It had been ages since I took 1 week. I think the last time was before starting the podcast, and it was necessary. And of course, I guess you heard about the threats, the ill-bail threats that I received. It seems that I'm too on point with who I think participated in the murder of Isaac Cappy. I've also been involved in some online discussions that are not healthy or not necessary. I mean, they're not my problem. So, you know, I'm just letting those guys cool off. I'm talking about, you know, people like Thomas Schromberger and Lestat and Fango and Steve Outrim. You know, it's not my battle. I only, you know, I'm a researcher. And what I had to do, I did. It was research the murder of Isaac Cappy. And it seems people are annoyed because the names I mentioned, Craig Sawyer, Vegan Mikey, Gabe Hoffman, you know, Gabe Hoffman involves Black Cube, Mega Group, Lex Wexner, Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, who else? DeFango, Lestat, Unirock. All these comebacks, all these low-life critters, hypocrites, punks, Elihi Priest, how can I forget that trash bag? You know, I obviously made some killers angry. And so they're saying in their little channels, because I've never been subscribed to their channels. I was, even before knowing that they were LARPs, even before realizing that they were LARPs, I thought they were just lame. I mean, I always said to myself, I mean, there are like 10, 15 great channels that, you know, investigate what the horrors of human trafficking and government corruption. What need do I have for channels like DeFango or Lestat? I mean, these guys, I don't even know why they are a thing. I mean, I know why, because they're paid bitches. They're paid chills. Their duty is to basically muddy up the waters so people get confused and don't know who killed Cappy, which is, you know, right in front of you. It's very easy to see who killed him. It's not that complicated. And so they were saying on their channels that I was suicidal, and they used a code word that caught my attention. Well, actually, a friend told it to me that there were this guy from All American Cartel LLC, some punk from Denver or Colorado, I don't know. The guy is all fucked up on his videos. He's pure trash. And he was saying that he thinks that I'm going to be ghosted. Well, ghosted is a term that they used to use for Cappy. Ghosted is basically being suicided. So this prick is basically announcing what they're planning to do to me. And you know, I took precautions. I took preemptive measures. I don't think they were coming after me this week. I don't think they were coming after me this month. Maybe not even this year. You know, these people are, they calculate their moves. How long do you think they wanted Cappy? How long do you think they were trying to kill him or use him? I mean, that was months. And as he said, the plan to get him was very elaborated. So, you know, that involves a long time, a lot of lies. So these guys are basically saying that. And, you know, those guys wouldn't kill a fly. I mean, those guys are useless. But, you know, they're basically doing the chilling for Gabe Hoffman and Craig Sawyer and, well, Elihi Priest. And these people are dangerous. You have to take them seriously. I mean, I would love to be one-on-one with Gabe, you know. Just a three-round fight in the cage. You know, that would be lovely. But that's never going to happen. And he has the finances to get me killed 100 times over. How much do you think is a hit worth? It's around $10,000. A professional hit. How many money does Gabe have? Gabe has over $1 billion, I think. It's at least 500 million. Last time I checked, I don't know. I don't care about his finances. I only care he's dirty. And so, you know, I have to move away from my country. And I chose a country where I don't have any family living there to not endanger anyone. And, you know, the conditions here are good. I mean, it's interesting. It's always lovely to meet a new place. It's a really beautiful country. And I haven't seen anything yet. I'm just getting used to the place and the house and the property. It's a farm. It's a farm, but, you know, it's a nice place. So, just wanted to let you guys know that I'm okay and that I'm taking all the preemptive measures, such as protection dogs, surveillance systems, and, of course, an arsenal. You know, sadly, Isaac Cappy wasn't lock and loaded when he was expecting these guys. In fact, he wasn't even expecting them. I'm expecting them, and I'll be lock and loaded. You know, safety first. It wouldn't be the first time I have to defend my place. As I already experienced a home invasion. And guess what? I won. So, take care. We'll talk later.